Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court, counsel for the government. Title 18 United States Code 921A3 defines firearm so that we have a very specific definition to work from when determining whether or not a person is in fact in possession of such. The statute defines a firearm as something that will or is designed to or may readily be converted to expel a projectile by means of explosion. In the second prong of that same statute, it defines a firearm further in an or as the frame or receiver of any such weapon. Of any such weapon, meaning a weapon that is defined in subsection A of the statute. Here in Mr. Dotson's case, there is no question that the gun that he had in his hand when on the date of his arrest could not expel a projectile by means of explosion.
But it was designed to. I mean, that's what it was, a gun.
Your right? Honor.
That's what it was designed.
Your Honor, it was originally designed to be a firearm. But the question before this court is, when does a firearm cease to be designed as a firearm?
I don't think it ever ceased to be designed.
Well, Your Honor, the statute is written in the present tense.
Well, I mean, we do have these cases, I guess, where it's converted into an ornamental, like a lighter, for example, a cigarette lighter, and all its operating parts are removed, and so it would be a really elaborate project to restore it as a gun. It might even be impossible.
And
we don't have anything as radical as that here.
Well, Your Honor,
it's decrepit. It's got some parts have to be replaced and it has to be cleaned, but you know, it still is a gun, has its external and internal workings. External appearance is unaltered.
Well, Your Honor, first, the statute does not define a firearm by what it looks like on the outside, but rather the design of it. The officer.
But you're not going to say, are you, that any gun which can't in fact be shot because there's something wrong with it, there's some part that's rusted or something, that is not a weapon within the meaning of the statute?
Absolutely not, Your Honor. But here we don't just have we don't just have a former firearm that is rusted. We don't have a gun that simply has a missing part or two. We have a gun. What we have is an object that requires a complete and utter rebuild.
Well, I thought there was evidence that could be done in 2 hours.
The evidence on the record is that a gun could be built from scratch in 2 to 3 hours. The question that was directed toward...
Can be built from what?
That could be built from its from all parts in 2 to 3 hours. In other words, if I had all of the parts necessary, once they were melted and molded into their individual parts, that those could be assembled in 2 to 3 hours to become a...
We're not talking about assembly. We're talking about repair.
But that is what we're talking about, Your Honor. There is no... The original report, the report that was entered on into the evidence at the trial, and the testimony of the agent is that this gun could not be restored to operability. That was the testimony before the court, which is why the court found that the gun could not be readily converted to expel a projectile by means of explosion. So it necessarily goes back to that second part of the first prong A of the statute, which is it designed to expel a projectile by means of explosion?
Now you're equating design with may readily be converted.
No. The question. So
what's the difference in your view?
Well, if it can't expel a projectile by means of explosion,
then
it can't be converted.
No, it can't. We have something that was a gun, maybe it still is, but in any event, it's a gun, but it doesn't work. Now, I think you're saying that if it can't readily be converted, then it's not designed anymore to be a gun.
No, what I'm asking the court to do
is... What's the difference between conversion and change of design?
Well, if something can be readily converted, it is something that can be done easily by the average gun owner. Believe that when Congress created this law, they didn't intend for something that could be readily converted to operability to require a complete rebuild or a gunsmith for that purpose. Designed to, if the design can be altered either on purpose or by accident so that it no longer functions as it's originally designed to do, which is what the agent testified to, then it is no longer designed to expel a projectile by means of explosion, and it's for that reason that we ask that you reverse the conviction.
Just one question. The expert said that that an expert with replacement parts could restore the gun to firing condition in 1 to 2 hours.
The expert testified that most, and I believe on page 4 or 5 of the reply brief, it lists out all of the things that are that were wrong with the gun before the court. He said that he did not know and that he did not do a complete review. If you look at the actual transcript, he had not looked at all of the parts. He hadn't completely opened up the gun. That was in response to how long would it take to rebuild build a firearm.
But he said to restore it, it would be 1 to 2 hours. I mean, that was his testimony. You may quarrel with it, but he did say that.
I think a complete reading of the transcript before and after that specific statement provides better insight as to what he was responding to, Your Honor.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Scott. Mr. Cook?
May it please the court, counsel for appellant. Good morning. My name is Brant Cook. I represent the government, as I did in the district court below. I'm asking this court today to affirm the defendant's conviction of possessing a firearm after being convicted of a felony. It was uncontested in the district court that the gun possessed by the defendant was a High Point 380 caliber pistol originally designed to expel a projectile by means of an explosive. This makes it a firearm under Title 18 United States Code, Section 921A3A.
Well, is there any level of decrepitude at which at which the gun is no longer a weapon within the meaning of the statute?
I would suggest not, Your Honor. I suppose we can imagine circumstances where it had completely fallen to pieces, but that is not the case here. In this case, the defendant's firearm, as the court has noted, and as the government submitted in its supplemental appendix.
So you're saying as long as it can be repaired, even if it were a protracted repair, which would require a lot of new parts, it's still a weapon? Is that your position?
I disagree slightly with the repair. The statute is written in the disjunctive, where it states any weapon that will or is designed to Willer is designed as a firearm or may be readily converted to expel a projectile. So there seems to be this distinction between it being able to be repaired and it's actually being designed as a firearm. For instance, the Rivera court in the Second Circuit that was cited in our brief, there's actually
specific... do you think you fit both categories here, that it was designed to and it also could be readily converted? Are you falling under both, or are you riding one horse?
What I would suggest to the court is that we fall under at least the it's designed to. I think that there is evidence in the record to support that it could be readily converted.
And when you say something completely falls apart, how do you distinguish that from our situation where so many of the parts are bad and it's rusted? You know, where would you draw the line? Do you mean by completely fall apart?
Excuse me, Your Honor, for interrupting.
No, go ahead.
But what I would suggest is that if the pieces of the gun, the actual outward appearance of the gun, it no longer looks like a firearm. It literally has got the slide has fallen off of it if it's an automatic. The cylinder is not present if it's a revolver.
No trigger.
I'm sorry?
And no trigger mechanism.
Right. In this case, what we had was a firearm that by all outward appearances was in working order and had maintained its design. That I think it's important to also look at the factual background of this. This defendant was able to show to a citizen on the street that person believed it was a firearm as it was pointed at him. So certainly the firearm, by all appearances, maintained its design.
Why was he curing it?
I'm sorry?
Why was he curing it?
That's a good question, Your Honor. Based on how he acted with it, however, he was carrying it as a weapon of intimidation.
I mean, what he was doing was not inconsistent. He wasn't carrying like a piece of junk in his pocket.
Right. He was not using it as a paperweight, as suggested in the reply brief that it had become.
Well, didn't he point the handgun at her chest and threaten to kill her with it?
Yes, he sure did, Your Honor. Additionally, there's Part B of the definition and that is that the definition of a firearm can include just parts of a gun that are alone and capable of firing. As this court noted in Brown, making reference to a case out of the Ninth Circuit, that frame or receiver of the firearm, mere parts of the gun that are alone and are incapable of firing, can also fit the definition of a firearm. As noted in the testimony in this case and in the record, the frame or receiver was intact on this weapon.
What's a receiver? I understand what a frame is. What's the receiver of a weapon?
So the frame is, as the court knows, then would be kind of the handle and the trigger. The receiver is, my understanding, the portion of the gun into which the ammunition is received into in preparation for firing.
The magazine, you mean?
I believe that on the my understanding of the record is that it would be the slide on an automatic weapon.
It would be
or
the
semi. I'm sorry, the slide on a semi-automatic weapon on top.
The slide.
Or in the case of a revolver, the cylinder. That's my understanding of the record. But if there are no additional questions,
okay.
Thank the court for its time.
Very much. Ms. Scott, your time expired. If you want another minute, you may have it.
Thank you, Your Honor. Just briefly, I want to impress upon the court that it is imperative that we do not define firearm by something that the statute does not use, which is the outward appearance. What the statute defines a firearm is as something that has the ability to expel a projectile by means of explosion. The fact that I could point a toy gun at you, which does not have that capability, and instill fear in your person does not make it a firearm.
Toy gun was not designed to fire a projectile.
Your Honor, and again, we would submit that the statute is written in the present tense, and at some point we believe that this court can make a determination that something that was originally designed as a firearm could have fell into such a state of disrepair that it is no longer designed to expel a projectile by means of explosion.
And so what scenario, you're saying your scenario is the one where it's fallen apart enough?
Yes, Your Honor. I believe that if it requires replacement of most or all parts, if it requires the assistance of a gunsmith or a complete rebuild, as though we had parts sitting on this table and we were building it from its very inception, that, Your Honor, does not meet the definition of a firearm. And it's for that reason we ask that you reverse the conviction of Mr. Dotson. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Scott. And were you appointed?
Yes, Your Honor.
Well, we thank you for your vigorous efforts on behalf.